All right, we are in the middle of a series on the magnified Word of God, and we've been starting each one of these messages with this word of encouragement from Psalms 138, verse 2 from the Amplified Translation. This is where the Lord is giving regard to His Word and His name. It says, "You have exalted above all else your name and your Word, and you have magnified your Word above all your name." And I've been encouraging you to, you know, let's do the same as God does. If God magnifies His Word, why don't we do that in our life? And I'm going to encourage you while I'm speaking about magnifying the Word and exalting it and giving it more attention in our life. That's what we're doing when we're magnifying it. We're looking at it more closely. We're having it expanded in our life. And I would really encourage you to read the article in the newsletter this month. Do a little bit more than just take note of what's on the calendar or the events for this month. Go ahead and read through that article. There is kind of a challenge for you in your summer days. Summer days have a tendency to be different than the rest of our year. It seems like we seem to be more disciplined in the rest of our year because we have much more of a schedule. But when summer comes along, there is the season for vacation, the season for play outdoors, the season for projects and all that, you know, family events and all that kind of stuff that can really only happen during the summer because that's our season to be outdoors. And, you know, that's not to say that you don't or shouldn't do those things. Those are all great. But what I am encouraging you is towards the discipline of keeping God's Word magnified in your life. And so there's a challenge for you to do something each day. And I'm going to encourage you to read that, find out what I'm challenging you to do, and make that a project for yourself for the summer or a discipline for yourself this summer. So, but today the message I've entitled Divided Loyalties, and you'll see where I get that if you want to go with me to Psalm 119. We're back at that, again, Larissa calls this I Love My Bible Psalm. I like that, that's cute. Because throughout this, it's talking about the significance of God's Word and how it is so important to us in our lives and how David says over and over and over again how he's going to give credence to, going to hold fast to the decrees of God, the laws of God, so on and so forth. He just speaks that over and over again. But as I'm describing this, divided loyalties, which is the term that comes from this first verse in verse 113, you'll see where I'm going to go with this point of the outline, which I'm calling thought wars. Just like we have people who are willing to go into the service to make sure that we maintain freedom here in this nation, so it is that there is always going, we're always going to be in a battle for our spiritual freedom. And we need to be people that are willing to serve in that battle, willing to lay down our lives in that battle, and you'll see more of that as we go. So Psalm 119, and again verses 113 through 120. It says, "I hate those with divided loyalties, but I love your instructions. You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. Get out of my life, you evil-minded people, for I intend to obey the commands of my God. Lord, sustain me as you promised, that I may live. Do not let my hope be crushed. Sustain me, and I will be rescued. Then I will meditate continually on your decrees. But you have rejected all who stray from your decrees. They are only fooling themselves. You skim off the wicked of the earth like scum. No wonder I love to obey your laws. I tremble in fear of you. I stand in awe of your regulations." Here's the things that I want to point out in this passage of Scripture. He begins by saying, "I hate those who with divided loyalties," or New American Standard and other translations use the word double-minded. And you'll see what we mean as we get into this a little bit farther. We'll go into the book of James and we'll see what it means by being double-minded there. But he says, you know, I'm going to avoid those kind of people. I hate those people with divided loyalties. And the reason why is not because they're bad people, it's because they do bad things. and they influence you towards bad things, towards negativity and towards destruction. And so he makes this declaration. Instead of adhering to those with divided loyalties, he says, I love your instructions. I'm going to hold fast to your instructions, Lord. I love your instructions. So he says, get out, evil-minded people. Get out of the influence of my life. He's not separating himself, saying, I'm not going to have anything to do with the people of the world. I mean, we know from the New Testament that that's not scripturally accurate. You don't isolate yourself from the people of the world. But the point of it is he's saying, get out of the influence of my life. You're not going to influence me with my mind and my thoughts. There is a thought war that goes on that can be influenced by people of evil, evil-minded people. So he makes this declaration, I intend to obey God's commandments. Instead of following the ways of evil people, I am going to obey God's commandments. Then he says, I will meditate continually on your decrees. And he goes on to say, those who stray are only fooling themselves. So, you know, when people are doing wrong, they want other people to do it with them. Because they don't want to be lonely in their wrongdoing. They want other people to join. Hey, come on, join this gang. We're going to go and bust down something, or we're going to go and steal something, or come on, let's do it together. And the point of this is it says they're only fooling themselves, so don't let them fool you. They're fooling themselves into saying to themselves that what we're going to do is going to be to our advantage. It'll make us powerful. It'll make us, you know, be respected or whatever. They're only fooling themselves. So don't let them fool you as well. That's why you want to avoid. You want to stay away. And with that then, go with me to Psalm 1. And we looked at this psalm in the beginning of this series of messages. And there's some things that I want to point out that are connected with what we just read in Psalm 119. In Psalm 1, in verse 1, it says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. I want to share that from the New American Standard. You'll see it on the screen up here. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Okay, so there's action in walking out. Walking out something, it's more than just your thoughts. It's more than just following, it's walking out something. And it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That's why in Psalms 119, David's saying, get out of my life, you wicked-minded people. I'm not going to walk in your counsel. I'm going to stay in a position that's called blessed of the Lord. Stay in a position where there is peace. Stay in a position where there is stability, rather than in a place where it's headed towards destruction. So these who are blessed of the Lord, walking not in the counsel of the wicked, it says in verse 2, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. So see the outcome of those who are going to, like David said, stick with the commands of the Lord, not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Instead, they're going to delight in the law of God. Now, again, sometimes we approach the Word of God as duty rather than delight. We duty the Lord's Word rather than delight in the Lord's Word. But here he's saying, blessed are those who, they delight in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. Now, that word meditate, you've maybe heard this before, but it's a lot more than just thinking about it in your mind. The word meditate, the definition is to moan, to growl. You've probably not heard that before, but regarding meditation. To utter, to speak, to muse. Now, the word muse is the one in several of that of definition, which is more where you're thinking, playing it over in your mind. You're reflecting on it. You're giving it thought and so forth. But there's so much more to it. When it speaks of uttering or speaking, I'm not going to share a lot on meditation today. I think Lord willing, we'll have probably another message that's going to speak more to the meditation of the Lord's Word and what that really means for us. But I just wanted to bring that out. As it says, meditate on it day and night. There's more than just thinking about it. You're doing something. You're speaking it and so forth. And then it says, regarding those, they will prosper in all that they do. So here, you know, I'm setting up for you today a choice. Again, it seems like every message comes down to you have the choice what you're going to think about. You know, the One week we spoke about God's thoughts or the thoughts of the world. We're going to talk about that some more today. But there's a choice, and you get to make the decision whether you're going to prosper or whether you're going to end up in chaos. That's really what we're talking about here. That's kind of the bottom line. But here is talking about those who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, those who are saying to the wicked or to the ways of the world, saying, get out of here. I'm not going to allow you to influence me, but instead I'm going to walk in the ways of the Lord. They're the ones that their lives are going to prosper. And prosperity is not just physically. Prosperity is in all areas of our life, prospering in relationships, prospering in business, prospering in, all these kinds of well-being. So prosper in all that they do is what it says here for those who are going to delight in the law of the Lord, meditate on it day and night. They're going to prosper. Those who are not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly or the wicked. Okay, and then in verses 4 through 6, I'll read this. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. So, prosper or destruction. Choice is up to each one of us. Walk in the ways of God and His counsel, or walk in the ways of the ungodly, the wicked, their counsel. David's making that determination again in Psalm 119. He says, not only just the wicked, but those that are double-minded, those that have a divided loyalty. He's saying, I'm staying away from them because at one point they'll be with you, another point they'll be drawing you away. So I'm going to even avoid the double-minded, he says, or the those with divided loyalties. Why? Because there's this battle that's going on. There are these thought wars that are going on. God gives us His wisdom and His counsel. They're called His laws or His decrees in the Psalms, specifically in Psalms 119. You'll see that over and over again, His ways, His laws, His decrees. And so there is that, and then there is the battle against that, which is the ways of the world or the thoughts of the wicked that will try to bring destruction in your life. Okay, so now we'll go to James, and you're probably more familiar with this passage of Scripture regarding a double-minded or divided loyalty. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 8. Okay, first of all, I'm going to read verses 2. It says 2 through 3 on your outline there, but I'm going to read 2 through 4 because it really gives us the context of what we're going to see in the verses beyond that. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Okay, so here's the context of it. It's talking about when troubles come and when your faith is tested. That's where we're going from here on for these next few verses. The context is when you're troubled, when your faith is being tested, here's what you got to do. Verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So here we see the result. It says what we're to do when we're in this context of troubles, troubles coming and faith being tested. Any of you ever experience anything like that? Okay, we're talking about that. Then what we're to do, we're told to ask for wisdom with faith in God only. So He's the direction we're to go when we need some counsel as far as what do I do? I'm in this trouble. My faith is being tested. What do I do, Lord? We're to ask wisdom for faith, with faith in God only. And then it goes on to say that the person with divided loyalty, or one who is double-minded, is unsettled He's as unsettled as the waves of the sea that are tossed by the wind. Another word for that is unstable. Unstable in all everything he does in verse 8. They are unstable in everything that they do. That is one with a divided loyalty. That is the one who the person is looking one way and then they're looking another way. They're looking at the ways of God and, well, you know, I don't know if I want to do that or not. So what's the reason, the human reasoning that I can receive that comes advice from those of the world? And so we look that way. And that's a person who, as it says, describes it here, is a double-minded person or divided loyalties between God and the world. Divided loyalties between God and the world. We don't want to be in that position because then everything's going to be unstable in our life. The best thing that we can do is stabilize ourselves. Let's opt out of chaos for peace and stability. But here, so often, we're choosing chaos because we're divided in our loyalties between what God would say and what the world would say. I'm going to give you a specific example this morning as we go on. You just have to wait to get there. But the point of it is you know, we're always making a choice, and that's why there is this battle that's going on in our mind. There are these thought wars that are going on. Again, the battleground is the mind, and what we're desiring for is freedom, freedom from chaos, freedom from instability, and sometimes we have to lay down our lives for that freedom, just like those who served in the armed forces, willing to lay down their lives. You got to win that battle for your own life, and not only for your own life, but just as those who go into the service, they're not just there fighting for their own freedom so that they can stay from behind enemy lines. They're going to fight for the freedom that for the people that follow after them. And so it is with you and your family, you and your influence with people in the world. You're fighting for a freedom, a stable life that's not only going to affect you, but it's going to affect your family as well. See, you as moms, dads can bring stability to a household that makes your household like an oasis in the desert of the world. And your family's glad to come home to that household because there's peace there. It's not chaotic. There's peace. It's stable there because you're following the ways of the Lord. You're not being driven about by every circumstance that happens, every test or trial to your faith. You stay with the wisdom of God. And so you're choosing, and it's a battle, it is a war. But as in every war, you've got to take POWs. You've got to take prisoners of war. And that's what this next part is about here. What exactly or who exactly are we going to take as prisoners? We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 through 6. Second Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 3. It says, "We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we punish everyone who remains disobedient." Okay, what it says there first is that we are waging war with God's mighty weapons. Okay, so we are in a battle. We're in a thought war. There's a battle in the mind. It's between God's ways and the ways of the world. And it says we are going to knock down strongholds of human reasoning and false arguments. Human reasoning and false arguments. They wage war against the wisdom of God, the counsel of God in our mind. I'm going to share some other translations here of verses 4 and 5. New American Standard says in verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." Okay, and you'll notice my little illustration there of culture of corruption. This is representation of the world, and the ways of the world, and human reasonings, and the strongholds that we have to lay captive to and make prisoners of war in our mind. We're not going to let them be established. The Message paraphrase says it this way. It says, "The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. That puts it in a way we can understand. There is a massively corrupt culture that we live in the midst of. We are in the world, Scripture says. We're not of the world, Scripture says. We're not to be of the world. We're not to allow the world to influence us. We're to stick with the counsel of God and say, get out of here, wicked people. Or get out of here, double-minded people that are going to try and sway me towards God sometimes, but I never know, because you might also be trying to sway me away with human reasoning and a corrupt world. And so we're making a decision, and we take POWs, we take thoughts captive, is what we're instructed to do in verse 5. New American Standard again says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's not talking about punishing people when it's talking about this in this passage of Scripture. We're talking about taking every thought captive, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You're taking those thoughts as prisoners of war. I'm in a battle. I'm not going to let you out. I'm not going to let you loose in my mind. You're going to be taken captive. And then again, the Message paraphrase says, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Isn't that good? Warped philosophies. And we're deciding, and see, if you have any access whatsoever to, you know, reading magazines, newspapers, TV, internet, you know, unless you absolutely close everything out of your life and live like in a monastery with a vow of silence and everyone around you is silent, that's the only way you will not be affected by the ways of the world. Okay, now most people don't opt for that. We stay in this world and we are productive in this world. However, the point of it is you got to know how to deal with those things that come at you then. You're sitting across the table from someone at work or lunch or whatever, and they communicate to you their philosophy. And you have to determine, now, is this according to the Word of God, or is this a warped philosophy based on human reasoning? What do I do with that thought that just came into my mind? If it's in obedience to Christ, if it's in line with the Word of God, you allow that thought in, and you consider it, you discern it with the Word of God. But if it's just human reasoning that's warped philosophy, you grab hold of that and you say, that's not going to take root in me. I cast out that thought. I take that as a prisoner of war and I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to destroy any strongholds that are raised up against the knowledge of God, that are raised up against the truth. There's where the battle is. There's where you have to take POWs. You take those thoughts captive and you bring them under the obedience, or you subject all your thoughts to, what does Christ say? What does the Word of God say? And so, do you see how vital it is for us to be familiar with this? I mean, this is the standard. And if we have no clue what's in here, how are you going to discern what's warped philosophy and what is the counsel of God? That's why it's so vital for us to be understanding what the Word of God says, so that we're not getting led astray by either double-minded people or wicked people. We're saying, no, you know what, that thought is not, I'm not going to embrace that thought. That is not from God's Word. It is not in agreement with His Word. And so I'm taking that thought captive. Okay, now, do you mind if I start getting personal? I told you I was going to make an application to it. And I believe that this is probably one of the most vital applications, because I think the most significant thing in our lives is relationships. You might think, well, you know, okay, we can't survive without food. We can't survive without clothing or shelter. You know, we've got to have finances or whatever. But you know what? All of that could be gone, and you still have a strength in your life based on relationships. Relationships with people to help in a time of need, a relationship with the Lord God Almighty, who you put your faith and your trust in when everything else has fallen apart. Relationship, I believe, is the most valuable thing that we can have. And it's the one thing that the devil does whatever he can do to break down. I mean, the most trouble that people have is in relationship. Married couples have trouble with relationship, parents and children, children and parents, workers, co-workers, people that are in authority over us, we have trouble with relationship. And it's because it's one of the strongest things, one of the most satisfying, fulfilling things in our life if we have appropriate relationships, and one of the things that the devil tries to break down. And so I'm going to make an application to this, embracing the way God says to do things versus the human reasoning, warped philosophies of the world that we have a tendency towards unless we discipline ourselves to say, you know what, I'm not going to go the way of the wicked. I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the wicked. I'm going to follow the decrees of God's law. I'm going to live according to the word of God. You have to make that determination if you want freedom and peace in your life, specifically relationships is where we're going to go with this, versus chaos and destruction. The enemy wants to bring destruction to your relationships, and there's such a simple way that he does it. And so often we fall into the trap of this. And so here we go. Like I said, I'm going to get a little bit personal here, but hear me out. Relationships, it's the most treasured commodity over money or possessions. That's what I'm presenting you here today. Now, again, the scenario when we were instructed to ask for God's wisdom was when trouble came or our faith was tested. So here we are. Trouble comes, faith is tested. Scenario number one, you have been offended. Okay, I told you I was going to get personal. Any of you ever been offended before? Come on, you know, be honest. We all, okay, but I'm going to give you some instruction on what to do with it when you get offended. So here's scenario number one. You have been offended. Okay, so someone has offended you. There begins immediately a thought war between human reasoning and God's word. So help me out here, people. What does human reasoning tell you to do if someone has offended you?
Get even.
How are you going to get even? Offend them back. Punish them. How do you punish them?
Do the same thing.
Start being offensive back. Or what's another thing that you do to punish people that you're upset with?
Silence.
You ignore them. Avoid them. I'm going to hurt you. You guys are good. You've had practice. We've all done it. Okay, that's the deal here. But okay, so I'm going to wrap it up in this word, vengeance. Human reasoning or warped philosophies is you get even. I'm going to get you back. You hurt me, I'm hurting you back. I'm going to blast away at you, or I'm going to avoid you so you miss me. You hurt because I don't talk to you. Okay. Well, anyway, so some of that comes out, like I said, like you all said, in avoidance, eye for an eye. You hurt me, I'm hurting you back. I'm going to be offensive back to you, or I'm going to tell things about you to other people. I'm going to get you. How about quarreling? We get in a fight, brawl. You know, husbands and wives, sometimes they get in a verbal, you know, fight because they've offended one another. And then it goes towards hatred and bitterness. Now these are the natural, like I said, unless you have made the commitment that David said in Psalm 119, I'm not going to follow the ways of the wicked. Wicked, get out of here. Don't feed me this stuff about how I'm supposed to get even, how I'm supposed to hurt them back because they hurt me. I choose to follow the decrees of God's law. Okay, so if you're going to make that choice, then that's the mature thing to do. So you do the thing that God says to do when you're offended or when someone has hurt you. You want to know what it says? What God's word says about that? Okay, then you're responsible to know, or you're responsible to do if you know. Okay, here we go. Don't say it. Don't do it. Don't tell me. God's wisdom from God's word, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Look that up, please. Now, please understand, my message today is not about dealing with offenses. I'm using this as an example of you get to choose whether you want to do it God's way or the warped philosophies of the world. We all have a flavor for what the warped philosophies of are of the world in such a important area of our lives being relationships. I mean, this we could do a whole series on relationships. We could do a whole series on dealing with offenses. I'm just touching on it today for us to understand that there is a God way of doing things. There is a world warped human reasoning way of doing things. One brings peace. One brings prosperity to relationships. The other brings chaos and destruction to relationships. And you're constantly making that choice. There's a war that's being waged in your mind, and you have to take captive the thoughts that are human philosophy, human warped philosophy reasoning that says, you know what, get them back. That's what the world says for you to do. Okay, and I got to quit talking and look up the verse. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Again, I could go into a lot more depth with this, but I'm just touching on it surface-wise. Matthew 18, 15 says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Okay, so here's the deal. God's wisdom, God's word, if someone has offended you or someone has sinned against you, go privately. All right? Then it says, point out the offense. This is how it affected me when you did that. Or, you know, this is how I felt when you said that. You point out the offense. And hopefully, you know, this is what we're striving for, and this is why we do it in this manner. The one who listens and confesses, again, they come to a realization of how they hurt you, how they offended you. Then if they listen and they say, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry, I apologize, please forgive me, then you have won that person back. You've restored that relationship. See, God's all about restoration. I mean, how much we have offended him. And yet he has done everything possible to restore that relationship. He's all about reconciliation. And he's giving us the way for us to do it. And the way for us to, again, have freedom in our relationships, have peace over the chaos and the destruction that would come if we followed the ways of the wicked. We choose. It's that thought war that's going on, and we got to take captive the thoughts that would direct us away from the ways of the Lord. Okay, so here, trouble comes. We're looking at scenario number two. Trouble comes. Faith is tested. Scenario number two, you have offended someone else. Have any of you ever done that? Okay, now comes the thought war between human reasoning and God's word. So help me out again. What happens if you have offended someone else and you just found out about it? What do you do? Huh? You get defensive. Yep. What else? What do you do with that person? Avoid them. Again, you know, we said, you know, if they're going to... Huh? You don't know what you're talking about. Okay, you're all heading in the right direction there. Anything else? Just, you know, bring up some of the things that you've done in the past. I don't want to... You guys are so good. You're getting ahead of me. It's good. Okay, so human reasoning, warped philosophies, you can just write in the condescension. I was going to say condensation. That's not condescension. In other words, it's like this. This is the kind of attitude you have. Grow up. If you weren't so immature, you wouldn't get offended. Or again, avoidance. You know, if that's the way you're going to act, I'm just going to avoid you. I can't ever make you happy. It just, you know, and that's, again, that's the way to destroy your relationship. Instead, we want to choose God's wisdom from God's word, Turn with me to Matthew 5, just back a few pages. Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24. It says, "So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God." Okay, so what's the first thing it says to do? Go and be reconciled. Then come and offer your sacrifice. I have a question for you. Charlie brought up texting. Okay, you pull out your phone, you make your text, you draft your text. What's the button that you push? What is it? It's not go, is it? Emailing. Okay, you type out your draft. What do you click? It's not go, is it? Get a hint here, folks. Texting and emailing doesn't work to deal with offenses. The scripture says go. You know, the minimum would be voice-to-ear conversation over the phone rather than blah, 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 send. See, what we're trying to do? We're trying to get this servant of ours by the name of Jamail to go and do our work for us. I'm going to send you, Jamail. Send. Gmail, get it? I'm going to send you to do what I am afraid to do myself. Either to go and confront someone who has offended me or to go and deal with someone that I just found out that I offended. The point of it is, the scripture says either way, and here's where you go through the thought warfare, people. I know I have been there. As a pastor, I have plenty of opportunity to offend. I do. I know. It happens. And either way, here's what you get to do. You get to choose. Am I going to go the way of the world? Yeah. I'll sure feel a lot better. Until your relationships are all destroyed and you have no one who wants to relate with you because you've wiped them off, said, "I'm not going to relate with you, you're so whatever." You know, or you brought so much chaos into your life, you have no one to relate to anymore. Or you can choose to do the difficult thing, the mature thing. Here's where you can't do this. You can't do this. Say, "Okay, you know what? I offended someone. Now, if they do the biblical thing, they'll come to me." You know what? That's opting out for immaturity. It is. If you're doing that, you're opting out to be immature. You're taking the world's warped philosophy and saying, "You know, I'll let, they're the ones that are offended. I wasn't offended with them. They're the ones that offended. They're coming." And that's why the scripture says, either side of it, people, you go. That's the mature thing to do. And so when we're talking about being reconciled, having peace in our relationships, which is one of the most valuable things in our life, is relationships, you get to choose. And those thoughts are all going to be there. Oh, no, no, no. Just disregard them. Just avoid them. If that's the way they feel about you, just avoid them. All those thoughts are going to come. You get, take that thought captive. This is not in obedience to Christ. It's not in obedience to God's word. What God's word says is go. Right. So we make that choice, Sophie, to go. We're not going to choose the easy way out, the immature way out, and say, "You know what? Let them deal with it. If they're so hurt or whatever, let them come and deal with it." That's not the way. That's not the way. You get to choose to be the mature one and say, "You know what? I'm going to go and deal with this. I'm going to take care of it." Okay, so, sorry. Divided loyalty, double-minded between God and the world. That's where it comes up. That's what it said in James, between God and the world. You're making that choice. You don't want to be divided in your loyalty because the result of that is you're unstable. and you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, before anyone needs to correct me, I realize I already did the wrong counsel. It should be counsel, the counsel. This is a body of overseers or governmental leadership council. So we're talking the counsel, the advice, walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and then you can correct it in this next statement as well. Instead, we'll delight in the law or the wisdom or the counsel. You know, this would almost probably be appropriate here because we're talking about the governing body of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Word manifest and the Word of God living on the inside of us and the Word, inscribed Word in our hearts to and the Spirit of God dwelling on the... There's a counsel there, C-I-L. But actually, it should be delight in the law or the wisdom and the counsel, S-E-L, of God. The result of that, then, is bearing fruit in every season. That's what we saw in Psalms 1. When the trouble comes, when your faith is being tested, when you need to ask for the wisdom of God, that's when you want to bear fruit. You want to prosper in all that you do. You want to prosper in that season. You want to prosper in your relationships instead of having everything fall apart in your life. And so you do it God's way. And when you do it God's way, you're told by Scripture that you'll prosper in those things that you do. Now, one thing we need to understand is that specifically in relationships, you can't always guarantee the other person is going to respond appropriately. I mean, in the Matthew 18 passage, when it says you've won a brother, not always will a brother acknowledge, okay, you know what, I've done something wrong. I need to ask you to forgive me. Sometimes they will choose the immature way and say, you know what, I'm just going to avoid you. It's like, okay, but at least you have done your part and you have made peace so that peace will continue in your life and in your household. And you will not be drinking the poison of hatred and bitterness. You've heard me share that before, that to have hatred and bitterness and anger towards someone else is to drink the poison hoping they will die. It's like when we talk about, yeah, I'm going to avoid you. I'm going to punish you. You know who's getting punished? You yourself. When you're breaking off relationships, you're destroying relationships, it's only going to hurt you. So you get to choose to bear fruit and prosper instead of destruction, walking, and instability. So again, here's another passage of Scripture that I believe will help us to avoid the offenses in the first place. Psalm 119, 165. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Or King James Version says, nothing shall offend them. Wouldn't that be awesome to walk in a way that you're never offended? I mean, you can choose that. People will do things that are hurtful, but you can say, you know what? You know, I may need to confront them on that because if they continue to do that, they're going to destroy all the relationships in their life. So out of love, I'm going to speak love to them, speak the truth in love to them, and help them to avoid this thing. So I'm going to confront them. But you know what? I'm choosing not to be offended in this. I'm going to walk above that. I'm going to choose. I have great peace walking in the instructions of the Lord. I love your instructions. They have great peace and do not... Those who will love the instructions have great peace and do not walk in offense. Nothing shall offend them. Then our closing verse, which we have used week after week, is Psalm 119:73. I almost said year, and you're thinking, oh, is this series going to go on that long? Maybe it will. I don't know. We're going to magnify God's word forever, so we could have this series going on year after year. But week after week, we've closed with this verse, Psalm 119:73. You made me, you created me, now give me the sense to follow your commands. I'm just going to encourage you to have the sense to follow God's commands when it comes to relationships, the most important thing that's in your life. And do what he says to do to resolve conflict. And you'll have much greater peace, prosperity in your life, rather than the chaos and the destruction that the thoughts and the ways of the wicked will bring. Let's pray. Father, when it comes to steps of maturity, they're not easy steps. I realize that. It's painful to walk through them. But when we walk according to your wisdom and your word, Lord, we're going to have the best outcome. And my prayer is for reconciliation in relationships. I know there's offenses here, Father, because it comes with relationship. But I pray, Father, that we can make the choice to connect with your word and go through that thought warfare and take POWs of the thoughts that are raised up against the knowledge of God. We're going to take them captive and not give them freedom. Instead, we're going to walk in your ways, Lord, believing that the outcome is good for us and good for the other people in our life and good for the people who will follow after us. We want to choose, just as those who have served on our behalf in the armed forces, Lord, and some even have lost their lives in doing so. Father, they did it for the freedom of the people that would follow after them. And we have a whole bunch of people that are going to follow after us, Lord, and reap the benefits or the destruction of our choices, particularly in relationships, in families, in households, among relatives, among friends, among co-workers, co-laborers. There's going to be people that follow after, and either in the blessing that we leave for them or in the destruction that we leave. May our choices line up, Father, with your will so we can walk in that blessing. Thank you, Lord. I pray this over your people here today. And we also ask your blessing upon the food, Father, as we get to enjoy the fellowship meal together today. And this holiday weekend, just we pray that everything that is done will be done to honor you, and also that we will play safely and enjoy the outdoors that you've given us. We thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.